Well, it's one thing for sure. I can't do what I come to do. And the Lord's here tonight. And I want to mind Him. And if I felt like the Lord hadn't had me to pin something down sitting over there, I'd just wave it on off tonight. But I've got something I would just love to share with you, just a few moments, and get to the main thrust of my heart. Sort of struggled all evening of what to preach tonight, and I had supper over at the church, and I got set on what to do, and God's got here moving and stirring, and I love it when God's around. God ain't got to hear from me tonight. But I'm glad one night I heard from Him. And somebody said, "How you know God lives? Because He talks to me." I can't do what I used to do. I can't go where I used to go. Well, I'm glad the Lord's here. So many folks trying to do something without Him. And I'm more purposed for where He said, "Without me, you can do nothing." And when you fall on your face a Sunday or two or a night or two, you'll go to learning that's exactly right. It's not in listen. We fit to go home in just a little bit. Let me help somebody right here. It ain't the mechanics of preaching. It's the minding of preaching. And it's what He wants for the service. And preachers, if God ain't a saying nothing here, then He ain't a saying nothing there. And boy, if He wasn't a saying something in here, I'd just say glory to God. I just wished I could say, no, I don't. I'm glad I got something burning. No, I don't. I was about to tell a story. I don't want to tell a story. I'm glad the Lord loves old sinners. I'm glad the anchor still holds. God's been good to me. And they sung a song, said I wasn't a thief. I told my preacher friend over there tonight, well, I was. And God saved me. And I love Him tonight. The book of Hebrews, chapter number 11. Book of Hebrews, chapter number 11. How it does my heart good to be around people that know something about the Holy Ghost. Hebrews chapter number 11. If we can and you're able, let's stand and honor one verse tonight out of our King James Bible. Found in the book of Hebrews chapter number 11 and verse number 7. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. thank you for standing tonight. Father, we love you. And so now, Lord, we come to you by the name of all names tonight. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you that you thought enough of us that you sent your Son to die in our place. Lord, there's been many sermons preached on that love of God, but it's never been able to tell the story of how you've loved us. Help us tonight to mind you in these few minutes. I feel you've impressed in my soul, and now I want to try to mind you. Help us. Let preaching be easy. Draw a sinner tonight and save them by your amazing grace. Encourage the downtrodden. Help the weary and the feeble in mind. Help us in our spirit and loose us tonight. Oh, Holy One, meet with us and help us. Help us to exalt your darling Son. In Jesus' name, I ask you tonight, amen and amen. I'd like to preach on the topic just a few moments on what a night to be Noah. It's dark outside. The Bible said in the last days, perilous times shall come. Joel Osteen said the other day in a message, I heard somebody say, that all of them folks was fixing to be blessed more and see more of the blessings of God than that ever. I'm glad I'm not a pro speaker tonight. But I'm glad to come to you on the authority of the Word of God, that this Bible says in the last days, perilous times shall come. And I was sitting over there and the Lord gave me four thoughts about what a night to be a Noah. I wonder, would anybody be interested in doing something for God? I want to say tonight, many churches are represented in this assembly. I told Brother Jeff at supper, I believe we have the greatest opportunity of any church in any church age to be a light for Jesus, better than any generation as we have tonight. It seems that most churches, they're into swallowing goldfish and swallowing swords and got the black lights and the seems like all of the entertainment of the world going on. And let me tell you, if you'll just stand by this old Bible, and if you'll stand just like this preacher prayed a while ago, and if you'll just go by the old highway, you will have something to offer to a community tonight that the average church does not have to offer. Just stay with God. We don't need to be caught up in events and entertainment. We need to get back to preaching the Word of God. And I'm glad there are some forefathers that is in the hall of faith in Hebrews 11 tonight that has set an example that we may all live by. You don't have to be a preacher to be a Noah tonight. Young person, wouldn't it be a blessing that God would allow you to have the atmosphere of Noah on your life in your school? Ladies, wouldn't it be a blessing tonight if God would honor you in such a way to give you an atmosphere in your home of Noah at your house? What a night to be a Noah. I want you to notice by way of outline this evening, and I'll get to the thrust of my heart. Number one, I want you to note in Genesis 6 and verse number 1, how Noah lived. The Bible said, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. He said it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. I believe God is grieved tonight at his heart.
And even though God is grieved, I'm glad He's not giving up on mankind. I'm glad He sent His Son to do a work in this day and this hour in the person and the power of the Holy Ghost. Yes, He sent His Son to die for us. And He said, if I be taken away, I'll send another. And I don't know about you, but I believe in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost tonight. And friend, I'm going to tell you, you may frown at this old-time religion, but this New Testament church is what's holding this world together. Because the Bible said when Jesus comes, and He is coming, and he that will let shall be taken out of way. I'm going to tell you, honey, thank God. I'm more encouraged tonight of serving my God than I've ever been encouraged in all the days of my Christian life. I'm glad there is a God that loves us tonight. Boy, I'm glad His Son, He bends over double to love. Watch this. I got to share this with you. In the Laodicean church age, the church that makes God sick, the church that makes God sad at His heart, a church that seems like God has certainly has nothing else to do with, but there is His Son knocking on the door. Let me in. Oh, aren't you glad we've got a Jesus tonight that wants to be involved in what we're doing? Aren't you glad we've got a Jesus tonight that's interested in His church? And so certainly if there's ever been a day and hour that we need to have a Noah, it is tonight. Wouldn't it be a blessing if our young'uns going to school tomorrow could sit under some Noahs? Wouldn't it be a blessing our babies that's got to go to daycare could sit under some ladies that acted like Noah? Wouldn't it be a blessing if we went to some churches Sunday and had some men of God that acted like Noah? You'll notice what happened now, how Noah lived. The Bible said in verse number 8, we find in 6, it repented the Lord. It grieved Him at His heart. But I love where God intervenes in the pages of our Bible. Is anybody glad that our God intervened in your bad world one day? Are you glad that you had a... Is anybody on a Thursday glad there's a God that took the initiative to butt into your life? I'm glad, but God had a plan for me in my life. I'm glad, but God had a plan for you in your life. In the wickedness of this world, God stuck His hand in my, I say hallelujah. I'm glad there's a thrice holy God, that He is a God that is a missionary minded God. I'm glad He come to where I was and interrupted in my sin. Hallelujah. All of a sudden, things as wicked as it is, and God moved. You see, I don't believe that I'm not from the theology base of where man moves and God moves. I believe God moves and man responds. The Bible said, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Ain't you glad He looked your way one day? And therefore we find some grace in the eyes of the Lord. Now look how he lived. He said, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man. Time out. That's what grace would do. It'll justify you. Justification, something that's went on in heaven. I'm glad my account has been cleared. Thank God I was in the courtroom guilty. I was over my head in sin. Boy, religion and the law had condemned me. Paul said he was doing pretty good till the law raised up in his heart. And he realized just how wicked he was. I remember a man come to Jesus one day. He said, Master, what must I do to be saved? Hey, I like what Jesus said. He said, you must be born again. He told another and he said, you need to go and sell all you got. He said, I've kept the law from a boy. And we ain't fooling our God tonight. Because ain't ne'er one of us kept all that law, friend. Boy, boy, Jesus knows what he's hiding in the closet. He told the rich young ruler, he said, well, go home and sell everything you've got and come back and see me tomorrow. And the Bible said he walked away sadly. I believe he's probably in hell tonight. But Jesus did give him a chance. Aren't you glad we serve a God that gives us a chance? I still believe in the gospel says that he paid a ransom for all. I believe that till I go to my grave, friend. Man has responsibility to respond to a God that moves on mankind. The Bible said in the book of Romans, he is a God of conscience and he is a God of creation. And if a man wants light, he can have light. Jesus said, walk in the light. Hey, while you have light, lest darkness suddenly find you. I'm glad we find how Noah lived by grace. Wouldn't that be a blessing the way we got saved if we could live that way? Amen. Some of y'all need to quit being the FBI where you go to church. Some of you need to quit looking at what's wrong. Go looking at what's right. And business will pick up Sunday morning if you'll get out of the mully grubs. And realize if it wasn't for the grace of God, we'd all be in hell tonight. Who are we to say, God, I sure am special that you saved me. But honey, there was a God in heaven that took the initiative upon himself to send me and you his son. In the courtroom of the law, we is all guilty. I'm glad, honey, when he slammed the gavel down by the law, it said, Ken Bowman, you're guilty. You've never been able to keep all points of the law. I'm glad by God's grace, Jesus' son stepped in that courtroom. Now he's the go-between for sinners. He said, now listen, they can't bail you out. They can't keep you out. So I believe by grace, I'll just take your case. I believe he reached up to the Father. He said, hey, Father, here's one of my youngins, glory to God. He's come to me by faith. Now you save him by grace, and I'm going to clear his account. Hallelujah. Thank God. I'm glad I've been set free. Thank God for grace that passes all understanding tonight. The Church of Christ had told me, said, you just be baptized and wash away your sin. That's the biggest lie the devil ever told me. I'm glad I got a better story to tell than that. I'm glad one day Jesus came by. I'm glad the Holy Ghost come, showed me I was a sinner, knocked on my heart, and by faith I responded to grace, and I've got old timey saved. Hallelujah. I'm glad I'm saved. Thank God I've been saved. Thank God I'm saved by grace tonight. How he lived. Boy, ain't you glad God butted in your world. I was a minding my own business, hauling hay in Tennessee. Somebody said, well, nothing happens good down at the beach. Well, I tell you what happened good to me. I met the love of my life. 33 years she's been my wife. How have you made it? We've made it by grace, not by the law. Amen. Some of you need to quit trying to live by the law and get plugged into this grace. It'll help you, friend. Some of you would live with me. You'd probably automatically take me to court and you'd divorce me because I brush my teeth and get the toothpaste on the mirror. Because some of you live by the... Some of you need to get a hold of grace. Hallelujah. Thank God for grace, how he lived. Justification. The Bible said Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And he was just. That's what grace would do. See, justification don't come before grace, friend. When grace moves on a sinner, therefore something goes on in heaven, and that is justification. You say, well, how did he live, preacher? Well, first of all, he lived by justification. Then I believe he lived by sanctification. If justification's what he's done in heaven, sanctification's what he's done in us. Now, you listen to me. I've not always done right all the time. But since I've been saved, I've always wanted to do right. Glory to God. And I'm glad he wrote me something down in my Bible for all of you lawgivers tonight. He said if we'd confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. righteousness. I'm glad we got a God tonight. We can fall down in our daily living and get forgiveness of our wickedness and all of our sins and all of our mistakes. Thank God we got a God that justified us in heaven, but I'm glad He's got a God that sanctifies us in our heart tonight. Whoop, whoop, hallelujah. I'm glad one glorious day He done something in heaven and it reached in my heart.
Glory, glory.
And I'm not my own no more. He does as it pleases Him. I believe He lived in justification. I believe He lived in sanctification. Now I tell you another thing. I believe He lived in demonstration. If there's ever been a time that we, the family of God, need to get out of these mully grubs, as the men of God said tonight, if you got saved, let your face know about it. Amen. I'm reminded of them leprous men come over in the book of Kings. Boy, it was a famine like nothing had never seen before. They looked in that congregation. The gates was locked and they looked inside. Said, why should we go in there? If we go in there, we die also. Oh, Lord. I'm going to tell you tonight. Hey, when the inside looks like the outside, we've got a problem tonight. We ought to live in demonstration and power and unction of the Holy Ghost and love one another. Hallelujah. Jesus said, they shall know you're my disciples, not how big your church gets, not how many buses you're running, but if you have love, one for another. Praise God. Me and you ought to chunk that stick and take us a lap tonight, friend. I'm telling you, I'm glad we can live by demonstration in this dark and this dying day. Hey, have you ever noticed this? You can put all of the darkness on this light, all the darkness you want, and it will not put that light out. But you can take the least little light and stick it in the darkest place, and light dispels darkness. I know some of y'all Baptists is like them Baptists I preached to back in Georgia. You say, why? If God loves me like He loves me, why am I going through what I'm going through? And why am I where I am? Just a little light goes a long way. These little old children come to me Sunday morning and they say, preacher, preacher. That's all they got to say is preacher. I'd hate to know they come to church Sunday hunting their preacher. And the world got me. They count. Listen, men of God, they counting on me to do right. There's a congregation, men of God, counting on me to do right. They folks got confidence in me. And I know that probably ain't right. Jesus said, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. But it don't change the fact. I got people watching me and they watching you.
Amen.
Oh God, I want to be a Noah in this night. I want to be a hero for children. They got enough Michael Jordans. They got enough of the world. It's about time they some men reared back, got some guts and grits and glue in their britches and said, by God and the Holy Ghost, I'm going to sell out and be a Noah in these last days. What an opportunity. What an opportunity. You say, preacher, I don't pastor many. Some of my greatest meetings is in a church with 40 or 50. Listen, it's what God has entrusted me and you with. Jonah had it right. Salvation is of the Lord. It's not mechanics. And it's not celebrities that build churches. It's what God wants to do where you go to church. There's no cookie manual to read to how to build a church. That Bible tells you how to build a church.
What an opportunity, young people, when your school can't even pray. They down here in your county now. Monday. Your county town commissioners can't even pray in Jesus now. And because a liberal federal judge has done said you can't dismiss in Jesus' name. What? How much are we going to take? Why don't some preachers stand up and get on the radio? Listen, you ain't got to be a mean-spirited preacher to preach right. We need balanced preaching. Can I help you right? Most churches, they're stuck in one place. They're either in the Gospels. Oh, we just love all of y'all. And Jesus does love sinners. Don't matter how you do, how you come, how you go. We're just going to love everybody. They either stuck in the Gospels or they're stuck in Acts. They knock at every door in the community. Working their fingers to the bone. And I believe in soul winning and door knocking. I believe in it, friend. I believe in personal evangelism. Or third, they're caught up in the epistles. Cut your hair. Wear your dresses to the ground. Quit smoking your cigarettes. Or they're caught up in Revelation, the great dispensationalist. And they're just admired that Jesus is coming. And yes, Jesus is coming. Give us some preachers that's got balance. Yes, Jesus loves. Yes, we're soul winners. Yes, we have standards. And yes, honey, I come to tell you tonight, Jesus is coming. We need balanced preaching. Don't get stuck in the ditch in one place. What an opportunity to serve God. You couldn't tell Noah it's too hard to serve God. Man, he just kept a building. I ain't heard one complain about him yet. He just kept a building. Kept a building, kept a believing, kept a building. Preacher, just keep a building. You're going to face opposition. Everybody's not going to applaud you. If you don't want to be criticized, don't do nothing, don't say nothing, and don't be nothing. We're Baptists. We born with complaints. I can write Baptist manuals. I know it all, nearly. I dread what the phone will bring tomorrow. I think I figured it all out till the phone rings. But I'm going to say this tonight, lovingly. What an opportunity to live for God. A preacher told me one day, he said, I tell you what you're going to do. He's a jealous preacher. He didn't like me. I've never seen so many jealous preachers. We need to realize something. It may not be our time to preach tonight, but I've noticed this. If you'll just follow your pastor, and if you cannot be led, you never will lead. And you stay put. You get some glue in your britches, and you get some stuff nailed down in your local church under your man of God and support him. And then when your allotment comes, he'll have somebody. When your man of God moves off the scene, that you stand up and get in his spot. Some of the greatest voices ever preached been on this tabernacle. But I'm glad God ain't done yet. We need some Noahs for now. I want to say this, Noah lived by faith. Some of y'all won't like what I'm fixing to say, but I'm going to tell you because I ain't got but one more night and then I leave. I had one of the greatest jobs a man could ever dream to have. I started on a Pepsi truck unloading drinks. God let me go as high as I could go in Pepsi Cola. I was probably in the top 5% jobs in the state of Georgia. I started preaching on a high chair to my people. God began to bless and add. God began to build a ministry. You know what He told me out at my green field that I plant for deer? Some of you won't even like that I deer hunt. I sat in there studying, had my Bible open, fixing to get something for Sunday. And just like the heaven rolled back, I read, Brother Jeff, where Peter got out of the boat to go to Jesus. He said, it's just about time you leave everything you got and come to where I am. And I want to ask you something tonight. He didn't go by blind faith. He took him up on his word. He said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come to where you are. You know what he said? Come! You better be sure it's him calling. And you notice this. He never did say nothing else to him till he got him in the boat. He said, oh, thou of little faith. If little faith lets you walk on water, where will big faith take you tonight? I was on an airplane going to the Philippines, fixing to preach, opened up that Bible. And I seen where Peter said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come. He said, come. I noticed he never did say nothing else. You know what the Holy Ghost give me? Up at 50,000 feet, ever how high we was? Too high to come down fast. He said, yeah. The reason he didn't tell him nothing else, because what he done told him was enough. I don't see no place else where Noah got a word. He started. Why don't some of y'all just go on your last orders? I'm telling you, they're not going to applaud you to do something for God. Listen to me. You're looking at a man that's preaching a sermon by experience. Faith is not convenient. That step of faith, I walked in, told the owner of Pepsi Cola, I said, sir, I hate to tell you, but I've got to resign. He said, what? He said, at 46 years old, you're going to take up another career? And then he started to cry. Owner of Pepsi Cola cried at the table. He said, you got a call on you, ain't you, son? Oh
my. Yeah.
You know, when our church started growing, ask this man with me tonight. When I took that faith step. I won't be honest, Brother Jeff. I kept waiting for big families to come in with a lot of money. I had a big vision. Big goals. Would send the money crowd in, and it dawned on me one day, Lord, if you sent the money crowd in, you never would get the glory for it. But Lord, when you keep the power bill running, Lord, you're doing this across the country, then ain't no one family going to be praised and honored for it. You're going to get all the honor and all the glory, and you're going to get all the praise. And I want to say to somebody tonight, what a night to be a Noah. I wouldn't care if I didn't have 15. I'd mount that pulpit Sunday morning like I was preaching to 50,000. Brother, I want to say something in humility tonight. My pride a few years ago, they'd call me, come run a meeting. I walked in the door and there was about 30 old people. Wasn't a baby in the house. And I said, God, what am I doing here? That's what the Holy Ghost spoke to me. He said, I died for them sheep. I died for them, and I need somebody to come along the road and give them some bread. I said, yes, sir. If that's all you ever want me to do, if you'll just touch me while I'm doing it, I'll be happy while I'm doing it. I'll try my best to do it for you. Oh, how he lived. Wouldn't it be a blessing? Can it give you some of the best marriage counseling any of you young'uns has ever had?
Some of you go and they'll charge you $100 an hour and don't even know nothing about our God. Let me tell you what's worked for me for 33 years. I've wanted, and my wife, we've wanted to be married more than we wanted to be apart. And that's what you got to do. You got to live by grace. Forgive and forget and move on for the glory of God. Your church ain't going to go nowhere living in the past on your hurt feelings. Who hadn't got their feelings hurt? I like what Brother Earl Hughes said to our church. He was up preaching in a big way one morning. A preacher is in heaven tonight. He was 83 when he preached at our church. He's preaching in a big way and all of a sudden he stopped. And he said, I want to ask y'all folks here this morning, has anybody ever been offended? I said, Lord, you just don't know who you're preaching to. I said, they hear me preach every Sunday. They've been offended quite often. He said, let me tell you why y'all been offended. You thought too much of yourself. And I've lived by that. Who are we to be a judge? We that older, we know we to live right, do right. We know that. Noah, how he lived. Number two, how he listened. And did you know what he done when he got this thing ready? God led him. You know what he said? Come down, all thy house. I'm glad God was on the inside of what he's doing. Ain't you glad God didn't say, go in? That'd been commandment. But he said, come down all thy house. He gave an invitation. I love how he listened. And the Bible said he went in and God shut him in. Boy, I want to listen more than anything in all of my... Oh, I've got a pretty outline. But let me tell you, if God ain't on it, it ain't no count. I want to listen to the Holy Ghost. The Bible said, be ye filled with the Spirit of God. You know why we need to be filled? Because we leak. Somebody pull out in front of us going to church and we'll roll down the window and we'll shake our fist at them on the back and says, follow me to Sunnyside Baptist Church. Boy, we leak, don't we? We've slammed every window out of the car. We've scratched off out of the driveway. The neighbor seen us leave mad. We pulled up in the driveway of the church, got out and grabbed our young'uns out, come up the steps of the church, walked in and say, how y'all doing? I want to listen. Preachers, more than anything in my heart, we ain't got to preach every service. There was a man told one of my members, he's a prison guard in the church, he went and told the warden of a Sunday, he said, our preacher didn't even preach Sunday. He said, what do you mean he didn't preach Sunday? He said, God moved and the preacher just got out of the way. He said, now, your preacher didn't preach. You know what that rascal said? Well, I'd cut his pay. Y'all look just like y'all need some old-time hacking back here tonight. But that's about how spiritual people are. Go to church. If you got a man of God to get out of the way and let the Holy Ghost move, you ought to thank heaven tonight. Oh, how he listened. And I've noticed this. Oh, can I help you? Though preacher said our conscience is God's watchdog of the soul, you can't hear when something's barking. You've got to get still and get cleaned out. I want to hear him. Come, thou and all thy house. Not only how he lived, not only how he listened, but I want to talk a minute about how he loved. He was a preacher. Moved by faith to the saving of his house. He took God's word at what it said
One of the biggest things, I'm not an evangelist. I'm a pastor. You listen to me, I didn't come here to hurt nobody. I come here to help somebody. If you say, well, seems like to me that you're sort of skewing toward the preacher, I'm guilty. I'm here to help him. Because if your preacher can get some help this week, your church can get some help. Now I want to help you to get with you, preacher. But you listen to me and how he loved to the moving, the saving of his house. Give me some families that have believed God to save their house. I see mom and daddy's young people come in our ministry. They're young and start adapt to the old time ways of God. They start raising their little Baptist hands up and exalting Him and praising Him. All of a sudden, mom and daddy get hurt feelings and out they go. But there's a problem with all of that. Their babies can't drive. And you say, preacher, leave me alone. I'm not bothering nobody but myself. That ain't right tonight. How he loved. Boy, I had a mama. God in heaven, she loved us. She'd fry that old rabbit and go out and we'd kill three or four quail. You know, thought we got the whole covey. Was so proud coming back home. She'd fry that, make them homemade lard biscuits and white milk gravy. Boy, she'd come in there and listen. That old house I was raised in, it's a cold. You could throw the cat through the wall anytime you wanted to. It'd get so cold in them winters in Tennessee. You know, they'd make them old-timey quilts. She'd put so many quilts on the bed, she needed a bumper jack to get you out from under there in the morning. You know, you couldn't turn over because she was pinned down by the cover. Boy, I had a mama. She loved us. Watch this. An assisted living home, Murfreesboro, Tennessee. 80 years old. She come to Liberty Baptist Church. Guess what happened? She got saved. She gets all my radio broadcast sermons. She opens up her door in the assisted living home, lets all them older folks listen to old-timey preach. She rocked me so long. She rocked me so long my legs drug the floor in the rocker. I was the baby. Mama loved me. She still lives. She loves my... You know, she'll call me right now. I got a voicemail saved in case she goes to heaven. Don't hear again. This is what she said. She says, Ken, this is your mama, honey. Like I didn't know who that was calling. I encourage you young families to love your family. I encourage you preachers. It's hard to love them that don't want to love you back. But God's taught me something. You'll never go wrong doing right. Lastly, what a night to be Noah. We see first of all how he lived, how he listened, how he loved. But in 2 Peter, I want to talk just a minute about how he left. The Bible said, and I want to be careful that I read it right. I want to go get this note, then I want to give an invitation because I want to be sure that I read this right. I don't want... Turn in 2 Peter 2. 2 Peter chapter number 2. And I want you to look at verse number 4. For if God spared not the angels of sin, but cast them down to hell, delivered them to chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, spared not the whole world, here it is, now underline it, don't ever forget, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. How he left. Preacher, how'd he leave? I believe he left listening. I believe he left loving. Brother Jeff, who you want to play? Can that young lady come play tonight? Let's play whatever. Brother David, let her come tonight, wherever you are. Come on, piano. How he left. Isn't it amazing he put this in by? Has anybody ever caught that, what he said? I was in a service one time, and a preacher read that, and the Holy Ghost put something in my heart. And I said, now God, you use words because you're a God of order, and you put something there right. And this is what the Lord, I believe, has me to tell you tonight, how he left. He left listening, and he left loving, but I think he left looking. Why do you think he said the eighth person saved? Because he is the last one to go in. I believe he had preached his heart out, and he turned around and said, surely, surely, there's somebody else coming. Preacher said it tonight, praying. That's when God began to move and change my whole message. I play golf with a man that I met him in the grocery business back in the old Pepsi days about 25 years ago. Something happened. Labor Day weekend. As soon as I quit my job, I called him. I'd had a burden. We'd go to the lake, come back, and I'd say, John, when the rapture comes, come in my house, get my gun, go on the rides, get my four-wheelers, get everything you want, because I love you, John. And I won't be here. And he'd just look at the floorboard. I'd say, John, I sure wished you'd get saved. Because if the rapture comes, I'm leaving, John. And you're my best friend or guide. I want you to have what I have. One Saturday, God moved on my heart, and I called him. I said, John, we should come to church in the morning. He said, Ken, me and my wife just talked about it. We're going to be there in the morning. And that Sunday morning, just like our good God does, his wife got saved. And it tore him up. We took off Labor Day to go play golf, and I opened up his trunk, done had my clubs on the cart, pulled up, and John got out, and he's a big, tall feller, nearly 70 years old now. He's a-crying. I said, John, what's the matter? He said, my wife's going to heaven, and I ain't going. I said, John, I said, won't you just kneel down right here by this trunk and get saved? I said, John, while God's dealing with you, get saved. You know what that man told me? He said, Ken, what God put in me last night ain't going nowhere. He said, I'm lost and I'm going to hell. Sunday morning come. Give an invitation. One of the greatest sights besides seeing my mama come, out he come. He got saved, and he grabbed every man in that church on that aisle all the way back and kissed them and hugged
them. Yeah, preacher. Amen, preacher.
I've cried a lot of nights. God save old John. God save John. I've got an old uncle over yonder, 84 tonight. Pick me up, take me to the dove field, and I was a little old boy, and let me retrieve. Yeah. Yes, he'd been an old 68 Plymouth 3 speed and get it sideways in the gravel road. Boy, he was my hero. I went to his house the other day, and I said, Uncle Howard, you know you need to be saved. And that's what he said. Well, Ken, I ain't never done much bad. No, but you've never done much good either. Because he says there's none good. No, not one. Don't give up tonight. I believe he left out looking. I can hardly wait till my little old grandbaby step out in the aisle. Y'all going to hear me in North Carolina shout from Georgia. His wife had never had her head under the water, 66 years old. She got saved. She said, now I want to be baptized. I went to her house and practiced baptizing her on her couch. She said, preacher, I believe God's going to let me do this. Baptized them both together. I said all that to say this tonight. My sister plays. I want to leave out looking. Surely, it'd be somebody come. Whatever you need tonight, if God has spoken to you, He's here this evening. Come to Him. If you need to be saved, He's still saying, come. And all your house. Is all your house in tonight? As I said last night, if you'll not pray, who will? Would you come tonight? While we play, this altar's open around the house. Won't you come to the Lord? Just mind Him as He moves softly on your heart tonight. Just mind Him.
And my heart just keeps on yearning.
He left out listening.
Something
he left out loving.
That mere words cannot describe.
He left out looking. Oh Lord,
so
give us a harvest.
Lord, keep the fire burning.
Do something big for somebody tonight.
And feel your holy presence.
God,
in
do something
our
big.
Lives.
I need a touch tonight.
Like you, Lord,
our church
make
needs you.
Me more like you. Let
preacher, won't you come? Ask God to do something for you tonight.
Shining through.
What a night to be Noah.
Teach me, Lord,
young person,
to
when you come tonight,
the things you want me
say, God,
to.
Let me be a
even
Noah.
Though they persecute
lost friend, Jesus loves you.
And the world may turn
he died for
against
you.
Me. It's
and if you'd come by faith, He'd save you tonight. I don't care what
like
you've done.
You.
The blood of Jesus can wash you clean.
It's plain to see.
Would you come?
The church needs tonight. A revival. Many have forgotten their first love. Remind us, Lord, that prayer is ours. Survival and send your sweet anointing from above. Make me more like you, Lord. Make me more like you. Let the light of your love come shining. Teach me, Lord, to do the things you want me to. Even though they persecute me, and the world may turn against me.
Boy, can you
it's my desire
just start to think
to
what it would difference it make
like
in each one of our
you.
Churches. If we could grab a hold of that truth just to simply live by faith. One of the things that holds our churches back tonight is we've quit living by faith. We've got to look at a checking account and we've got to write it down on paper, and if we can't see it and we can't figure it out, oh no, preacher, we can't go there, we can't do that. When God was blessing churches in years past and the way God's blessing churches now that are being blessed, it's because they're living by faith. They're trusting in God and not their own selves and not their own abilities. God help us tonight. I'd purpose in my heart I'd want to be a Noah in these last days. God, speaking to your heart, you need to come. Would you come tonight? While these are praying, would you come?